Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Julio Rodriguez, and this is the Lookout Landing podcast.
Hello and welcome to an emergency episode of the Lookout Landing podcast. Whoop, 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 whoop. I'm Kate Bruiser, the managing editor of Lookout Landing, and I'm joined in this emergency podcast by John Troopin and Isabel Manassian, who are the only staff members I could strong arm into talking about this on a Sunday evening slash afternoon after what has been what can kindly be described as a shit show of a day. Hello, how are you, friends?
Reeling, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty shook. I mean, not astonished in the sense of what is actually, you know, what the content is, but shocked that we got it like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be clear, I don't think any of us are surprised by what he said. But are instead really baffled that he said it so freely.
I go back and forth between feeling like shocked that I'm not shocked, honestly. I'm not shocked that Mather said it. I'm not shocked he had these feelings. I'm not shocked that he, as somebody who's never experienced consequences for his actions, starting from when he sexually harassed women and didn't lose his job for it, and just had to go to sensitivity training, which apparently didn't stick. I hope the Mariners can get their money back on that one. I am not shocked about that. I'm not shocked about the fact that in speaking to a coterie of wealthy philanthropists from the Bellevue Rotary Club, who I really feel like should probably be excluded from this narrative. Like, these are people who are just having their Rotary breakfast. And yes, in a lot of ways, they represent the ruling class among us. And Mather felt like he was talking to peers. And that's why he felt safe in saying a lot of the things that he did. So am I shocked about that? No. What I am shocked about is that the Mariners, who tend to run a very tight PR system to the point where they don't clear their people to talk to us. We have to go through their whole, like, if we approach someone directly, we're routed through their PR system and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes we get what we want and sometimes we do not. I'm shocked about this breakdown on their end because they keep a tight lid on this. They know who Mather is. They have him in their workplace every day. If you knew he was doing this, why in the world did you not have somebody who was there to cut his mic? That's what I'm shocked about.
I have to believe that this was such a small potatoes doing this as a favor to a friend or to someone that it did not even cross their desks.
Something he's done in previous years, apparently. I mean, I got the sense from watching the video that this is something that's happened before. He's visited with them. Some of the people who asked him questions like they seem to have spoken with him before, which I wouldn't be surprised about. I bet a lot of them are also season ticket holders for the Mariners and have rubbed elbows with him at various events.
Absolutely.
I don't think that's an unfair assumption to make.
No, I think it's a good point to note that he was clearly, especially like everything down to like what he said, the way he said it, his attire, the way he was drinking coffee, like he was kicked back, relaxed.
Drinking coffee out of a mug. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the mug was a good touch.
A true, to the point where I was wondering like if I'm being Truman showed. Drinking coffee out of a mug that I believe said, women's lives are our passion. What we didn't see is the other side of the mug said, ruining. Sorry. Getting back to that. Absolute comfort, drinking coffee, talking to his peer group. John, were you shocked? Were you not shocked? Does this feel like a shoe that you've kind of felt like a sort of Damocles kind of situation where you kind of felt this? We all knew, like, we know who these people are. We've known who they were in little fits and starts. We see it coming through, but it's always been shadowy, right? And this is it rounding into full unpleasant color. Is that where you are?
More or less. I mean, a big part of this is, you know, it's all well and good to say like, oh yeah, the big, wealthy, executive, you know, set of MLB is, you know, the big bad, you know, and I've said that, I think we've all said that, but like, it's, you know, it's obvious, but it's, you know, like, whether you're looking at John Stanton or Kevin Mather or the ownership of any, you know, organization around the league, you know, it is pretty obvious that this, you know, many of these mentalities, at least when it comes to the financial components, that's how the team feels. That's how the league feels. That's how the people in power feel and how they're going to operate. The reason that the system works is in large part because they have plausible deniability in any circumstance that, you know, oh, well, we're just negotiating. You know, but when you say, oh, we expected free agents to come hat in hand, sort of groveling for
hat in hand, I mean, the literal phrase he used.
Yeah. When you say, you know, we made a competitive offer. I forget, competitive wasn't the exact word, but it was, we made an extension offer to Kelnick and he's going to be a free agent because he wouldn't take the contract Evan White took. And he's not going to be in the majors because he didn't take the contract Evan White took. You know, you're giving the game away, which is the same thing that, you know, we all say, or many of us say, and reporters will say or allude to, but because you can't have people on the record saying it, it doesn't really work. But the big brain boy El Presidente said, nope, we're gonna just say it to some people at breakfast over some scrambled eggs, over some pancakes.
Yep.
I mean, that's the part that blows my mind, is that like all of this works because you have people who maybe they're not particularly smart. Some of the people in charge of teams are very smart. Some of them probably are not all that smart. But they're good enough at the baseline, okay, this is what we have to say so that we don't get in trouble, so that we keep getting to do what we do.
Right, and in that way, we almost should be celebrating Kevin Mather. I know. Let me just...
I need a timestamp. It took us 8 minutes.
Let me let you sit with that for just a sec. I'm going to let that marinate.
No, I got you.
But no, I mean, honestly, and I've said this before, because I've experienced coded sexism in my life. I've seen coded racism. Honestly, I prefer for you to just fly that flag. Like, let me just see it straight out so I know who... To me, it's almost refreshing when somebody who I suspect of being a dirtbag says something outright dirtbaggy, and I'm like, oh, I feel very comfortable slapping this label on you. You are, in fact, a misogynist. And it just feels like living a little more honestly, because then once we have that out in the open, we can start to deal with it, right? And so the difference is that most, and again, this is what the PR department exists to do, is they clamp down. I can only imagine poor Rebecca Hale must be I don't know. If I were her, I would be on a plane somewhere, just like, absolutely no way, you cannot pay me enough to deal with this particular storm. But yeah, it's that's what that department exists to do, is to close this down so that we have whisperings of it, but we don't have outright proof. And that's what's damaging about this, is we have outright proof of service time manipulation. It's literally right there in what he says. And this is going to be huge, because it's going to affect not just the Mariners and the Mariners moving forward and how players and labor interact, but it's also, this is something that could very easily come up in the collective bargaining agreement.
Absolutely.
I mean, this could shape baseball going forward.
I think the real, when was the last time that we had an hour's worth of video of a baseball exec at this level of power just chatting about
phones in sight, just vibing?
Exactly. But like, this is going to, the flip, like the good side is that this is going to prompt a lot of action. Like, it has to, and maybe that's foolish of me, but it will prompt action in some capacity. More negatively, I think this is gonna completely silence just about every other franchise and every other man in a position of power like this. Like, the leashes are going to be very tight.
Yeah. I mean, a big, like, this was, I mean, it's wild that we even got this. I'll say that. And I believe Eric Hess, is that the name? Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that?
Yes, shout outs to at Seattle Sun Devil, DVL.
Absolutely. I mean,
full spelling on the first two words, DVL on Devil. Who was the one who was in a YouTube rabbit hole, he says.
Yep.
And happened across this and was like, huh, interesting baseball info in here. Because there is. I mean, Mather does talk about, like, how many fans might be in the ballpark because of COVID and stuff. There is legitimately interesting. Like, if we were reporting this as a straight presser, there would be stuff in there that would be interesting. But then it goes so much further.
Right. Like, yeah, I mean, even, and some of the other components where it's like, ostensibly, like, you could say this and it would probably not be great, but like the Marco Gonzalez story where he pins a veteran pitcher we traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Who could it be? Like, who could it be now?
Real, it's a real tricky one.
Is
to
it
figure
like
that out.
Meek? Like,
you know, well, it's like all of these are like, so many of these are like individual components where, yeah, like you said, it's interesting and it could be whatever, but it all comes together to be one, like you said, that service time manipulation point, like, because of how, you know, the Chris Bryant case is always the one that people point to of like, this was the most blatant. He was so obviously ready. They didn't have a established person in front of him and they still didn't call him up. And to boot, they ended up missing the playoffs by 2 games. So it was like, in, you know, foresight and hindsight, seemed really obvious, still lost his case. Because you need someone saying it. Like,
yes,
outright,
so,
saying it on tape. And
I want to say,
I don't know that this is enough, because it's not, it's still not like him saying outright like, oh yeah, we kept him down because of that, but it is pretty much him saying we kept him down because of that. And I mean, like, so many people have to be furious.
Yes. And I mean, we're going to go through the laundry list. Mm. Ryan Divish started a list. I added to the list. It's really, I mean, it really is shattering in the top to bottom nature of the list of people who are offended by Kevin Mather's comments today, not least of which are a legion of Mariners fans who are rightfully pissed. I would almost count myself as double pissed, because not only am I pissed as a fan, I'm pissed on behalf of the individual players. So,
and to add, go ahead. If I may add, I'm pretty angry, to be honest, that this is what will get him fired. Because, and like, from the Mariners' perspective, y'all could have saved yourself so much trouble.
Let this be a lesson. Let this be a lesson. Dick's gonna dick. Like, no, seriously. If you
podcast,
if you don't enact meaningful consequences against someone, they are going to do it again. And I mean, pause for brief reflection on current American history. But yes, I feel similarly, Isabel. Like, I'm torn between being very happy, because I felt, I went from being like, ooh, I don't know how the Mariners are going to cover this up, to like, I absolutely feel like Kevin Mather is going to lose his job within the span of this morning, just in considering all of these ramifications. There is no way that he remains employed by the Mariners, right? Are we all in agreement on that?
Absolutely, especially given that this has now reached national level news.
Absolutely.
Instead of just in the Seattle Times.
But what sucks...
We've got the New York Daily News, we've got, you know...
Olbermann.
CBS. I mean,
CBS.
The national reporters are talking about it. Like, the Mariners... It takes a lot for the Mariners to do something that gets on this level. And it's, frankly, I feel like kind of the job of the CEO and president of the Mariners to not get in the crosshairs of those things. Let that be the purview of the Mets and the, you know, the Dodgers or whoever.
Yeah, it's really hard for the Mariners to make national news. And even the Lorena Martin case didn't crack a ton nationally. Yeah. But I feel like as more, and we're on a Sunday here too, so things are, but as people start to fire up their columns for Monday, I anticipate this only getting bigger, which is why I wanted to get this podcast out now. And thank you guys for hopping on here with me.
I think a shitty alternative that I'll stick out there too is that he willfully, quote unquote, resigns.
Yes.
Which would be very disappointing. Like, because at this point too, I don't just want to see him gone. I want to see him...
shot out of a cannon.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you, and I think that because of his long-standing tenure with the club, it probably will be something where he writes a big public statement and he apologizes, but he doesn't apologize for any of the stuff we actually want him to apologize for. And
fire up the notes app.
Yeah, oh, fire up. I mean, you're going to have a jumbo-sized screen. This thing's going to be in, like, four-point font. I absolutely agree with you. I think what's disappointing, Isabel, to me is, like, it's not the sexual harassing that is going to get him fired. It's not the casual and not-so-casual racism in what he said today. It's really the economic implications of what he did, and that ownership is going to be very unhappy with him about. And the MLBPA is probably unhappy with him. But the MLB and the rest of the owners group is going to be unhappy with him. And that's going to be where the pressure comes from. We got a question from Tieran711, who wanted to know how likely are any current and future Mariners to win any collusion cases for service time manipulation after Mather admitted to doing so in a public forum. And John, you touched on this a little bit.
Yeah.
But I did kind of want to circle back to this.
I mean, yeah. Unfortunately, it is... it hasn't been done. The last time MLB lost a collusion case was 1987, whenever it was that the entire league, like all 30 teams, or I guess not all 30 at that point, but all of the teams were found in court to have been colluding to lower free agent salaries, which, by the way, really not that long ago, and not a lot changed. They just expanded so they could get a bunch of new money back to make up for that, which is like literally what the commissioner, the then commissioner said they did. That's not just, you know, like perspective on it. That is like how they did it. So the moving forward, like no player has won a case arguing for service time manipulation. And even this, I think it would be hard to see it happening, but I think it's very likely we see it now. If not, probably we might see it from Kelnick, just in thinking about who he is as a person. I think he's much more likely to be sort of going for himself there. Grant Bronston, who helped write up and transcribe the article.
And is kind of our, like, contracts wonk at the site.
Yes. He noted Logan Gilbert actually may have a better case just based on what was said by Mather, because Mather straight up said he won't be up on April 1st, but he'll be up later in April. Like, just was more explicit about that. And, like, I think Gilbert probably has a weaker case for the baseball angle in terms of the Mariners actually do have probably 6 or 7 starting pitchers who might be better than Logan Gilbert right now, whereas they probably don't have 3 outfielders better than Jared Kelnick.
They don't have a left fielder.
Yeah, right. I mean, but that usually isn't... That hasn't been enough. That part hasn't been enough to win the case. It has been a lack of evidence. So I think we will see at least 2 cases.
And particularly, I think in Kelnick's case, there's a real connection to be made. How Kelnick did not sign the long-term deal, and as such, is sort of being punished in Tacoma.
Pursuant to this, Nat Lang 34, Lang is with an E, sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, wants to know how might the union respond to this stuff. So a little bit related to that. Why are we laughing?
I just am sort of picturing
the union's response.
Yeah, just like a endless scream, sort of Edward Munch, hands on the cheeks. Yeah.
Just Tony Clark, just grin, just getting bigger and bigger, like the Cheshire Cat. I mean, they're definitely going to be somewhere between livid and indignant, right? I mean, they have now on record, you know, an exec saying, you know, speaking disparagingly about the union, but also... I mean, the it was not something that was lost on me or many readers, I imagine, and it certainly won't be lost on the union, that in this same breath, Kevin Mather talked about how embarrassing it was that they were starting the season on time in Arizona because of the COVID risk, and also saying, "Oh well, we're gonna be able to sell some tickets down there. You just may have to adjust your schedule."
It's stunning how little loyalty Kevin Mather displayed to literally any entity in this entire conversation.
Any entity.
This is just letting it spray.
Any entity.
In every sense of the word, including multiple times, it sounds like, in people's ears. From just very
rolled
close
up into that breakfast.
I did not love the whispering in the ear.
Oh, that's gross.
Going back
so
to
much
the
whispering.
In the ear well. That's you know, that is a personal distaste, but...
I think maybe specifically for Kevin Mather should maybe have been, again, I question the effectiveness of the sensitivity training. He feels like okay to do so much whispering into people's ears. Yeah, he just rolled up into this breakfast like Scarface. We had a lot of questions about the effects on the team, and we'll get into all of that. One question that kind of has come up a lot that I'm seeing over and over again. What does this do to the guys who, what does this do to the relationship that the Mariners have with their young prospects? Specifically, how does this impact those early long-term deals that he scorned Kelnick? And it definitely, it doesn't read like that in the transcript, but like, if you listen to the video and listen to how he talks about Kelnick, he obviously thinks he's like a little big for his britches, which I understand. Like, for a lot of people, that is the Jared Kelnick experience, is like, the dude is very, very confident, and you
react
to that. Dude
is busted out of a lot of britches.
Yeah, there's just a trail of broken britches behind him. Broken britches behind Kelnick, broken bridges behind Mather.
So, yes.
You know, in that way, they're really, really two of a kind. But so I understand that. How do you feel though that this, Mather did kind of say that like this is something that they're angling to do with a lot of their young players, is lock them up to these extensions. Obviously, it does make financial sense for the teams. I tend to think of these things as like a win-win, even though you know, you have the cases of Acuna and Albies, who obviously were kind of being underpaid. I don't think the Evan White deal is a terrible deal. He kind of characterized it as something that Mather thought was a really good deal, but other people on the team themselves were, and we've heard this before too, that this was Kelnick's approach to it. It just seems like Kelnick is very out of favor with the organization for how he reacted to that, which is a huge bummer, because it really feels like we're going to get him for 6 years and he's going to be out the door as soon as he possibly can. You've got 6 years to repair your relationship with Jared Kelnick. Mariners, good luck.
Well, quite frankly, I would not be shocked if we only get, 3 years max? Like, if he's a superstar, they hold on to him for a couple years, and depending on where the team is at, I would not be surprised to see him traded elsewhere.
I don't think Kelnick is going to go anywhere, because I think he's going to help the team win for a long time. But I do have a lot of questions about how any of this ever resolves itself.
It doesn't. Like, not only from like a contract standpoint, but from a basic level of trust standpoint, this destroys any sense of safety for the players in terms of like how they communicate with upper level management. This has just like cratered any sense of silence or mutually agreed upon privacy. It like a lot of this feels really invasive, and for all that, like, obviously we're on the outside looking in and we want to hear all this information, but at the same time, like, thinking of like Iwakuma or Julio, like, I desperately wish that that had just been left out, that Mather, like, we wouldn't, I think the case for his firing would probably be lesser if he didn't say such racist things.
Yeah, real racist.
I just really wish, for the sake of the players, that he had not said that, because that, how do you then go to work knowing, oh, this is what my boss thinks of me? Like, if you are a non-native English speaking player in the Mariners organization, how do you put on your uniform and go out on the field and know that this is what the president of your organization thinks?
And we've talked, we got a lot of questions too. I'm sorry if I'm not mentioning your questions by name. A lot of them, we got a lot, like there weren't a lot when we started, and then all of a sudden there were a ton, and a lot of them overlap. So I just want a blanket statement. Thank you so much for sending in your questions. I will try to get to all of them in one way or another. We did get some questions about, okay, even if you fire Mather, how does the team make this right? And I think a big part of it is, it starts with an apology to Iwakuma, don't you think?
It starts with a lot of apologies.
Yeah.
And it had better come with a lot of private apologies, not just from Kevin Mather. I think that's a really important thing. I think you need apologies from other people in the organization. Because Mather can apologize, but Mather's also going to be gone. And the guys in the org and the guys who were formerly employed by the org know who he's friends with and who aligns with him. Like, Jerry DePoto had better be calling everyone up and apologizing to. Everyone. Hats off.
I'm hoping the reason, talk about hat in hand.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the reason we haven't heard anything from the Mariners PR department is because the entire front office is on a plane to wherever Julio Rodriguez is. I think he's made it to Arizona by now.
He left Tampa a couple of days ago.
I want everybody, I want like a 80s romantic comedy, Jerry DePoto with a boombox over his head, like grand gesture the hell out of the whole thing, because, and Julio is, I mean, Julio popped up in the DMs today. What is all of this about? Because of course people tagged him, which I wish they wouldn't have done. Like, obviously he was going to find out about it anyway, but you know, like that's their, he should know, but not over social media.
He would have found out.
He definitely would have found out.
Rather than a stranger online being like, hey, look at this shit someone's talking about you.
Yeah. And I mean, Julio being Julio, he is motivated to prove them wrong, to prove Mather wrong. I think Julio, just from kind of a brief discussion with him, is able to or willing to see this as one quote-unquote bad actor. A lot of them understand it's a business. You know, D. Gordon, it's a business. And I think that is something Julio knows too. And obviously it is a business. But this goes beyond it being a business and into a personal insult. And Julio absolutely deserves an apology from the front office, Mather, everyone who was involved in any way with... I mean, Andy McKay, he might not have done anything wrong. I think Andy McKay is probably borrowing Tom Murphy's crossbow and trying to figure out where Kevin Mather lives because of the comments he made about the prospects. But, and if I'm Andy McKay, I'm on the phone today with every single prospect whose name, and that's not just Julio, but it's also Cal Raleigh. It's also Luis Torrens, whose name was mispronounced. I mean, so much damage control to do here.
Well, to say nothing of future signings, future draft picks, future international signings. This, and it doesn't, again, it doesn't matter for the people who asked about, you know, what happens after Mather is gone. It still lingers. This is not going away anytime soon. This is going to leave a mark on the organization internally. Like in the players' world for a fair bit, I would say.
Absolutely, because again, we got a lot of questions about will this make Seattle less desirable? And because his insults, Scarface-like, were all over, you have apologies to make not just with these particular players and in the Mariners community, but you have apologies to make within the entire community of Latin prospects. You have apologies to make within the community of entire Japanese ballplayers. And, you know, if a guy's going to be racist against a Japanese person's English, he's probably going to, you can just safely roll up like the KBO and all the other overseas leagues into that.
Yeah, I think a big feature of this is also that we're starting to get bits and pieces from like family members of players, Julie Seager. We saw.
Oh yes, now. Because it's not enough to just insult the players who for their English, but also you should also alienate as many veterans as you possibly can
like
while you're doing it too.
Calling Cal Seager overpaid. Obviously, you know, we've lived in Seattle for a long time. I've heard a lot of people on radio shows call Kyle Seager overpaid. Kyle Seager is very well paid. There's no doubt about it. But he's also been really good. And he's like that part is like, it's horrific, horrific management to call your employees in a public forum overpaid or just mock them or all these things. And I think the larger thing here is that we haven't heard from many of the players yet. Obviously, like Julio tweeted, but like You usually don't have a dynamic in baseball, or really in many sports, but certainly in baseball, the most sort of straight-laced, button-up sport, where ownership and management say something completely whack, and the players can actually feel fully justified in responding honestly. Like, every player in the Mariners organization now has pretty much carte blanche to say what they feel and not worry about, like, oh, is this going to impact how other teams think about me? Like, no, because they also all want to say, fuck you, Kevin Mather, because you blew up our spot. Like, yeah, I mean, it is, I don't know. There's a ton of apologies and a ton of changes that I think the Mariners will have to make, and that probably ultimately won't impact them too much in terms of getting other teams or other players to come to them, just because there's only 30 teams, there's only so many spots.
Ooh, I disagree.
Well, I think it is going to matter until they do at least some baseline getting, firing him, making a series of statements and showing some degrees of improvement and contrition. I think that it's still going to linger for at least a couple of years, though.
Yeah, I think it also reflects pretty sloppily from a PR standpoint. No player is going to want to go to an organization that airs their dirty laundry like this. It's fucking sloppy. And if you can avoid that, which you can, because, yeah, there are only 30 teams, but also, hey, there are 29 others who aren't the Seattle Mariners. Why not?
That is a question that we got a bunch of times, as people being interested in knowing if this... I would say that the most of the questions we got were about, does this hurt the Mariners being able to retain their young core on long-term extensions? Specifically, it sounds like that bridge with Kelnick might be burned, specifically Julio. And does this make the Mariners less desirable as a landing spot in free agency?
Right. Well, and I'm curious, too, less so about the Mariners as a landing spot for free agency and some of the questions we got about what this means for the long-term contracts that he was explicitly saying they plan to try and give out to some of their younger prospects. I'm curious about what those players do now, whether long-term contracts will still be in play, because now, you know, Mather has just shared the game plan there, but also whether younger players will try and use this as leverage if they know that they're going to be potentially offered a longer term deal. I don't know.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I think the likelihood of those extensions are significantly lowered by this. Why would you want to be the next one to extend with this team if you had the choice to do that or not? I mean, obviously, you know, it is life-changing money for a lot of these guys, but, like, you... Evan White already, we've heard this from the team, we've heard this from Kevin Mather, we've heard this from other places at the time when it happened, like the MLBPA and player, like other players tried to discourage Evan White from signing the contract because it was such low cost stuff. Like, I mean, obviously it's a, I think it is a reasonable deal because he was only in Double A and he hadn't, you know, necessarily had this high profile situation, but like, so many players are going to, I think, see this and think, oh, they think I'm the next Mark, you know, that I'm the next, you know, easy sucker that they're going to bring in here. Like,
yeah, because even when he was describing the Evan White signing, it comes across as distinctly disingenuous and very sort of catty at the canary.
Yeah.
Oh, I like Evan White now.
Yeah. Like you mentioned with in relativity to Kelnick, Kate, where it was pretty disparaging. Like, and, you know, that doesn't, it's not surprising. Like, of course that's how he thinks about it. Of course that's how, you know, he and Stanton and the sort of ownership angle, because, I mean, that's what Mather's role is he's sort of putting into practice the business end of the team, which is where the, you know, where ownership is most heavily directly involved. Like, it still matters a lot that it's actually out there publicly.
I wish, I mean, as far as the Evan White signing goes, I think, like, there are extenuating circumstances to look at there, which are Evan White badly wanted security for his family. He does not, and this was, I think, again, something that was very telling about Kevin Mather, that he was talking about, like, $23 million is life-changing money, but $55 million, like, affects your grandchildren's lives. And I was like, I don't, both of those money,
yeah.
Both of those dollar amounts change lives, Kevin Mather. Like, I don't, $1 million would change my family's life. Like, so again, just like how money talks about money. But this is something we've seen. The Mariners have been sloppy on in the past. Jesse Smith, who I like and respect as an analyst, but, you know, was on the Hot Stove show bragging about how the Mariners are able to underpay these Ivy League educated analysts because they want to work in baseball. And because working in baseball is such a hot commodity, everyone wants it, and so they're willing to get underpaid. And it's gross that baseball is continually patting itself on the back about how it can get a deal on people or be able to do these things without having to pay full market value for them. And I think, like, in that context, the Evan White signing looks bad. In the context of Evan White wanted that guaranteed money, his mother has a cancer diagnosis, like, that's his personal choice. And I just feel like talking about it, politicizing it in any way, one way or the other, isn't totally fair, because it was his choice and it was what he felt like he needed to do. So that issue overall, I think, is complicated. But Kevin Mather makes it very not complicated when he is obviously gloating about it and assigning moral value to it, which is gross. Like, you're not a team player if you're not willing to sign the big extension, which is not big maybe in terms of your market value.
Yeah, I think a lot of, in general, like, this is not Kevin Mather specific, but the way that we talk about professional baseball players, and specifically about minor leaguers in relation to their financial value to these enormous corporations. You know, we have Jared Kelnick under control for 6 years. Player X is good value because we were able to sign him to a deal that undervalues him tremendously. Like, I get that that's, you know, we say it over and over, you said it earlier, baseball is a business, but just because it's a business doesn't mean it has to be this type of business.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we have to totally devalue people and judge them only on their willingness to be underpaid. Like, that's gross. And saying that out loud is gross. How do we come back from this? What hire can the Mariners make? That is, what can they do possibly to repair their image, which I think is thoroughly tarnished? In, as we've said, and we haven't even gone into all the different... we don't have time on this podcast to cover every group that was pissed off or insulted by what Kevin Mather said in an hour. Our hour is not enough for that. But like, so many, we have so many questions about like where, and I think it's a very common sense among Mariners fans. Where do we go from here?
Yeah. Well, let's be very, very clear here. Kevin Mather, if all goes well, will soon no longer be employed by the Mariners, but his exit does not mean that anything about the organization has changed. Like, the ideals are still in place. He is not the only one who thinks these things. He's not the only one who says these things. He's the only one, though, to go on the Bellevue Breakfast Club and say them out loud like this. And I don't think... It doesn't change my feelings on the team at all, but I'm also, you know, a couple weeks back I wrote about trying to rekindle my baseball fandom and specifically my Mariners fandom. And I had noted that it would be sort of a recurring installment and looking at a couple different ways that people are grappling with a loss of baseball fandom, and I have dropped the ball, pun intended, tremendously, in large part because each week that I sort of settled down to think about it, new terrible news broke, and it just seemed like the question was not, or I guess the question is not, oh, you know, how do I keep staying a baseball fan? It's much more so, is there any way that I can still be a baseball fan at this point?
I hope this is not a callous way of looking at it, and certainly not the only way I'm thinking about it, but I think that one of the most frustrating parts of this entire saga already is there was plenty to feel dispirited by with regards to the Mariners, with regards to Kevin Mather specifically, and, you know, with regards to John Stanton and Mariners' sort of executive branch. But I think there was legitimately, at least among the players, quite a bit to be enthusiastic about. Among the prospects, quite a bit to be enthusiastic about. And that's, you know...
And it's just got past the Lorena Martin thing. Like, yeah. We had just done this where the team felt like it was on an upswing and we're all excited. And then that happened. And then all this, oh, okay, but they signed Paxton and things were, we were on right. The upswing. And then this, like, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Like, and this, like, this is so exasperating because it does stretch into that. Like, it really, I think, will have ramifications for, you know, how do you ask your one of the big things we talked about? I must have said the word buy-in dozens of times. We've all said the word buy-in dozens of times. Of like, how do you get players to go full in, go, you know, fully commit to an organization that has no record of success, has in fact the opposite of a record of success. Exactly. And I think, understandably so, the Mariners, for all their foibles, said, all right, we just got to acquire guys from the start of their careers, build them up in our organization, have our coaching staff and our player development and our trainers, you know, work with them, have them develop camaraderie and community and, you know, a sense that they're going to do it for themselves and for each other and for this organization. And then you send your, you know, the people in charge out and they just you know, talk shit about it and mock, you know, and talk down some of the things that, you know, the organization, not necessarily Kevin Mather, but like the organization themselves, you know, have legitimately been relatively at the front of, like, improving the educational thing services offered in their Dominican Academy. And like, that's not a particularly high bar to clear, but it is something that the Mariners could legitimately say, we do a really good job at this relative to other teams. And then you're just going out and making fun of that. And
yes,
like how severely you're undercutting your player development and your coaching, it cannot be understated, and how insulting that is to your players. I don't know how you get that trust back without a significant amount of clearing house.
Even here at home, the Hometown Nine plan, mm-hmm. which is players of color, but also there are players whose first language might not be English, or who come from homes where the first language is not English included in that program. How do you tell them that when you're patting yourself on the back about how you're making this investment in the community, how do you square that with allowing somebody who clearly thinks that second language speakers are deficient in some way, are lacking these skills, how do you square that? You cannot. And it's such a betrayal. Ooh, I'm getting really worked up.
Well, yeah,
I'm getting mad.
Well, and especially because you have to, unfortunately, this is the sort of, like, MLB as a whole, and the Mariners in particular, they've allowed this man to stay in their front office since 1985-86, and continue to work his way up to the point where now, as you're looking at firing him and getting rid of anyone who he really was partnered with or things that he was associated with, he has left a trail throughout the entire organization. Like, there's yeah. not a single thing that does not have Kevin Mather grubby paw prints on. Like, I can't even properly articulate.
Yeah, I mean, we got a question from James Roberts at Junkball Pitchin. Is there any scenario where the front office gets trust back in your mind after this
no.
situation? Like execs have proven little about their care for winning or the team at large, or the people who are fans of their team. James, thanks for your question.
I mean, even if you were a coach, like, all of those groups, you know, the fans, the players, you know, media, whatever, like, it's incredibly difficult, but like, the people that are reporting to Kevin Mather.
No, you burn the whole thing down and you crowdfund a new baseball team. That is the
baseball
very
as
solution.
Municipally owned.
Yes.
Public works.
Yes. Treat it like a co-op.
Yeah.
I would love to see what the cost of owning a piece of the Mariners would be if we didn't have like the root sports issue and all of that.
That's one way to really get around they're blocking our access. It's like, oh no, now we own part of it. You have to let us in.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know how you get the trust back. I mean, you know, it's like literally any relationship. It's very hard to build and very easy to break trust. And in terms of with fans, Mariners didn't really have that trust at this point. They've not had that trust for quite a while. And what trust they had built, that's broken again. I think we, as people who follow the team, you know, in a semi-professional way, as well as, you know, obviously we're fans of the players and whatnot, like, I have no trust in the team. And I don't know, I mean, obviously, they're going to fire Kevin Mather. I think that's going to happen. But I don't think...
They should fire Kevin Mather, mm-hmm. and then John Stanton steps down, and all of the other old white guys at the top also decide to collectively retire and spend more time with their lovely wives and go travel to resorts and live out perfectly happy lives, and they just clean house entirely.
I mean, to bring it to the point, and we were talking about this a little bit before, what was the fabulous Shakia Taylor?
Oh, yeah. It's just shut up. It's so easy to shut up.
Yeah.
That is her refrain, or at least
just
something that she often
why do rich people have such a hard time with that?
Right.
Why are rich people so bad at just shutting up?
Yeah. And this is...
God, if I was rich, I would just spend all my time being rich. I would spend none of it being racist, sexist, or transphobic in a public forum. How hard is this?
It's power, and it's being in a position where you can force people to listen to you. And that is intoxicating and toxic in equal measure.
And I will say that some of the things that I've heard about Kevin Mather, I don't want to, speculate or dredge things up, but there are things that you hear from being around the team. And one of the things that I've heard is like, and I think this is true for a lot of people who want to be in baseball, is, baseball front offices are riddled with people who once wanted to be players, people who love the sport and love the game and just want to be connected to it in some way. And sometimes that can lead to, just like wanting to be a cool kid. And I feel like, oh, I'm a baseball insider. And again, he felt emboldened because he was at a breakfast he'd been at multiple times, something he apparently has done many times in the past with people he considered his peer group. And it was, well, just between us. But then the just between us became for everyone. And I think what's upsetting about that is not just the content of the things he said, which are upsetting in and of themselves, but also the realization that, like, had it not been for this stream, so many of us wouldn't have known about it. And it's just a reminder of how many of us aren't just one of us, just between us.
So many of us would not have known about it, but I think a lot of us at this point in our fandom would still have known, if that makes sense. Like what we said earlier today, none of this is shocking. And I don't know about the two of you, but especially after the last year plus, I just sort of feel like I assume the worst at any given point about particularly every single man I encounter in baseball. I assume the absolute worst, and rarely am I pleasantly surprised, but on the flip side, I am not sort of blown away each time something like this breaks. It's a very sort of protectionist way of consuming baseball still.
It's a real opportunity too for the baseball media to step up in how they cover this sport, and for the fans to step up and say, because unlike the Lorena Martin thing, I think, which was successfully buried by the Mariners and didn't make a national story.
Thanks in part to Kevin Mather,
right?
He's explicitly noted, as you may recall, for being one of the people that Dr. Martin went to complain and to get some action. Sorry, carry on. I just wanted to, like I said, sticky fingers all over everything.
Sticky fingers all over everything. I cannot remember what I was saying now. This is no, it's my fault. Just the Twitter has been on fire all day today.
And I think that's also like a really good example of
excellent,
like,
meme work, everybody.
Like, truly
excellent meme work.
Like, there is something for everyone in this video. You name it, and he has just stepped in.
I was
it.
Gonna say it's like an opera cake of scandalism. Like, yeah. There's like level one, like You probably shouldn't have told that story about Marco Gonzalez slamming Mike Leake against a locker. Like, oh, you probably shouldn't have talked about the union and us negotiating. Oh, you probably shouldn't have said your best prospect is not good at English, which also is a wildly bad and inaccurate thing to say. Like,
I love the LL commenters terribly, but I think it speaks volumes that everyone has been able to find something to yell about within this, and are collectively agree it's bad.
Yeah, that is the amazing thing, really, is that even if you were someone who wanted to say I don't see why this is racist or uncouth, you would still be furious about seven other things that this dude said. It is an amazing sort of coalescence of foot in mouth.
And it means that we're left trying to discuss it and are sort of just fumbling along the way, because there are so many things.
I was distracted because I realized that a thrown away tweet that I said about Kevin Mathers, which with a curse in it, that was an anger tweet about Kevin Mathers' English being, or Spanish being, not anywhere near Julio's not tremendous English has racked up 1,000 likes, which I'm a little bit ashamed about because it was, again, just an anger tweet. Personally, I feel like if you're not offended by that, you need to do some serious thinking. But I agree, Isabel, there is something to be angry about for pretty much everybody, and it's
a golden corral of fuck up.
I mean, it's just there's a chocolate fountain of racism, there's a salad bar of labor inequalities. I mean, just as far as the eye can see, it's a sizzler. We will ask you to vote on your favorite analogy for this, because I agree, shit show is tired and also a cursy thing to say. So yeah, please pick your favorite analogy for the way to describe the Kevin Mather situation.
Shit show also really often implies multiple parties at work. The real magnitude of this was a one-man show.
It was a one-man show, but I mean, it was a stunning. I just, again, I haven't even comprehended, I think, all the levels of people angered, because it's not just, I mean, it's the ones that are obvious to us, but it's also something as easy as saying we're in better financial shape than most, which ownership can't be happy with. And
it's dropping Dr. Fauci's name, he's
dropping Dr. I shouldn't say this, but
yeah, that was a wild one.
Dr. Fauci.
Somehow this is the thing that you say, I probably shouldn't say this. That was the wildest part.
There were so many times in this interview where he was a breath away from self-awareness and then just screeched off away from it.
I feel very strongly I have to go lie down. But before I do that, I would like to ask one more question.
Yeah.
It comes from our excellent site moderator, who I've been very busy today and not able to dive into a lot of the comments. But I assume he's been busy. Bless you, Sweezo, @JTSweezo. He wants to know, what type of ballistic weaponry is your choice with which to launch Kevin Mather into the sun?
I would worry about the ramifications of his presence on the sun. Mm. If we can do some sort of setup where he is launched just into sort of the nebulous space, left to float and scream all alone.
Like one of those little Among Us guys, when they get ejected, just
ooh. I'm going to pretend that I know things like Among Us and so.
I'm very, very hip with the kids.
Yeah, I like that though. I think you could. My preference would be sort of a traditional cannon. However, you do turn that sucker straight 90 degrees down and plant him like a great coniferous tree, and just kind of leave him there. And what comes may come.
I would like a series of cannons set to one of the Mariners fireworks displays in T-Mobile Park, so all fans in attendance can witness it. Just like, pew!
can we get the it's not the Fox Sports. Was it the Fox Sports? The pregame music? Just fired from cannon to cannon,
with like the Mariners background on that sunset, beautiful Northwest sunset,
exactly.
With him just in silhouette doing endless rotations through the stratosphere in front of it.
What was it called, like during the Salem witch trials, when they would, it wasn't stoning someone, but like they would pile the stones on top of the person until they were crushed? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I mean, rude. I'm willing to just call that stoning. But...
Okay. Slow stoning.
We do stoning.
Artisanal stoning.
But each person that he specifically offended, each group, gets to just sort of lie on top of him, and we just layer.
God, I don't want to do that.
We
Ew.
Layer Taiwan Walker, James Paxton, and eventually
Princess and the Pea him, except
no,
he's
no,
the pea
I feel, I feel,
get crushed like
I feel
a pea
like
would
is...
in theory.
There'd be way too much whispering into ears going on. God. No, I need a safe
That's
distance.
So
safe distance. I like John's shooting him down into the center of the earth.
Yeah.
Although then I would be worried about contaminating groundwater supplies and whatnot.
Lava's seen worse.
I think harmlessly floating about in space might be the best. Maybe just like an island. Could we just have an island somewhere where we send all these people and there's like a lot of videos and they just have to watch the videos all day long?
A really unpleasant island.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. No, I'm not talking about like a tropical
island.
One or anything. Yeah, maybe on top of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
That is
the most
Pennsylvania
jubilation I've ever heard. I think that name has ever been said with. Here's what I will say. I think we're wrapping up here. Yeah, Kate.
Oh, absolutely.
I do want to finish on not a positive note, because I think for all of us, and hopefully for all of you, this is a little
a serious note, though.
It is my sincere hope that this can be an inspiration for, obviously, changeover, not even in a retributive way, or in sort of a way with malice, but you have to change what this front office looks like, because it's not going to work if you just kind of try and band-aid it. And I hope that, in concert with that, I hope we see a very outspoken group of Mariners players develop.
That would be fantastic.
And a group that is not afraid to say what they think and say what they feel, because they know now what their, employers think, what the people sort of who control their futures think. So I think that would make for a very fun group of players to root for. And
a bunch of hammer and sickle Mariners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rise up, my brethren.
I mean,
if the lines are going to be drawn that clearly between management and labor, union, like, here we go, all together, like, everybody link arms, and maybe that does create, like, a sense of solidarity.
Yeah.
The fan base, too. I mean, the fan base is aligned with the players. There was a lot of support tweeted at Julio today, specifically. They know that the fans have their backs, and, maybe there will be some positive sides out of this. At the very least, I think a pissed off Jared Kelnick absolutely obliterating the green monster at Cheney Field at Cheney Stadium could be an upshot of this. I mean, Yeah, if there's a group of people I don't want to piss off, it's probably like a bunch of athletic specimens in their 20s.
Don't mess with the teens.
Like,
don't mess with the teens.
You know, if we just came to like a pure feats of strength contest, I know whose side I would be on in that. The one good thing about this is it is such a carnival of disaster that it is going to be impossible to ignore. The team absolutely has to do something about it. If they don't, fans will rightfully, because it's not like they have a compelling on-field product. No offense to the players who I love and am excited to watch, but you know, we're not exactly seeing Mookie Betts out there. It's not, and there's still a pandemic at hand, so it's going to be difficult to get fans in anyway. It's a great year to take a year off from the Mariners and not give them any money if you aren't satisfied with how they act about this. And hopefully they really will have that reckoning. All right. Well, thank you so much for everyone who sent in questions. It's been a tough day. We have much more coverage planned for this upcoming week. We plan on coming at this from a variety of angles because there was ever so much to unpack in that speech. So we've got a lot. Stay tuned to Lookout Landing over the course of this next week for breakdowns of the various implications. And
and hopefully you can celebrate with us.
Yes. Celebrate. I mean, yes.
And
we will have directions on how to bake your
baseball coverage while we're
out. Yes. Yes. And directions on how to
40 and 40 coming soon.
You bet.
And directions on how to bake your They Finally Fired Kevin Mather celebration cake. Yep. And other things like that.
So. We got it all for you.
We've got you from all angles. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for reading. We appreciate you. And we'll talk to you next time.